Digital Coach is brought to you by Distinction Communication, where we help story and storyteller drive ideas and information.
Today's topic is a Distinction Communication Training refresher session, Making Your Gestures Count. When you're presenting up in front of a group of people, our bodies often go into anxiety mode. The heart beats quicker, and the whole autonomic system goes into hyperdrive. During this stressful state, literally dozens of chemicals are produced, not the least of which is adrenaline. It's the equivalent of putting nitrous in the gas tank of a car. The added energy produced has got to go somewhere, and for most presenters, it goes to some very observable places. We hear it in our voice. We start to talk much more quickly than if we were sitting across the lunch table from a friend having a casual conversation. Any pauses we may have had go away, and the audience is hard-pressed to catch up with our rapid pace. We see it in our feet. The anxious presenter has one of two things happen. Either they freeze and appear to be statuesque for the duration of the presentation, or they get happy feet, pacing back and forth like a caged cat. This Distinction refresher session will focus, however, on the most obvious manifestation of nerves, our hands. Nothing makes a presenter look more insecure, more uncomfortable or anxious than hands that are doing a number of strange, meaningless things during our presentations, often without even the awareness of the presenter themselves. So why is it important to get these nervous hand habits under control? Because what an audience sees will trump what they hear every time. According to Alfred Mehrabian's research a while back, given conflicting signals from a presenter, people will default 86% of the time to what they see, the visual, nonverbal part of communication. They're looking for insight into what's really true. For example, the presenter says, "I'm very glad to be here today." What the audience sees are his hands wringing anxiously in front of his body or nervously spinning his ring. The nonverbal message, "I wish I was anywhere but here." Or the presenter says, "I'm glad to take your questions now." What the audience sees is the presenter folds her arms across her chest and takes a few subtle steps backwards. The message the audience gets, "I hope you don't ask me something I don't know." The purpose of this session is to revisit the whole idea of gesturing and the role it plays in communicating important thoughts and ideas. For the purpose of this podcast, we will break down the gestures, good and bad, that are most often seen into two categories. First, there's the throwaway gesture. This is a repetitive series of meaningless gestures. It can take the form of hands that pump emphatically over and over again, arms that flail in a predictable pattern, or any number of other creative options. Regardless of the presenter's particular gesture habit, the result is pretty much the same. Because the gestures are used for everything, they end up emphasizing nothing. And they quickly become just another indicator of the presenter's high anxiety. The second kind of gesture is for purposeful emphasis. This is what we want. Because the presenter has their arms comfortably at their sides, when they do gesture, those gestures create much greater emphasis. The presenter looks much more passionate and energetic because the hands are coming from a neutral position instead of gesturing meekly from the center of their body. There are four things that are important to remember about these great gestures. The first thing, use them to contrast and compare. With arms stretched wide and held high, use them as a visual representation of the verbal comparison you're describing, or use this gesture to show relative sizes between choices. But remember this, go big or go home. Small, wimpy gestures will not be seen by the person two rows back. They signal an extremely low passion level, and they will do very little to underscore the words they go with. Make your gestures large and get them above shoulder level whenever you can. Second point, create a gesture library. In case you struggle to come up with gestures on the fly, go ahead and pre-plan three or four that you can use in your next presentation. Practice them in front of a mirror. Your first impression is that it looks a little over the top, but I can guarantee you this, these will look great to your audience. Third point, avoid closed or intimidating gestures. Pumping fists or other close-handed gestures do little to build bridges with your audience. There are a lot of reasons for this: family of origin issues or simply a closed-off body position. But with so many options available, choose something that has meaning. Keep your palms up. This is kind of the I'm hiding nothing look. And avoid pointing at specific audience members. I see this from time to time. All it takes is a memory of a high school teacher with the same gesture, and it's game over for our presenter. Fourth point, use your hands as the illustrated story. Number of research studies have reinforced that when we relive stories with all the appropriate body language and gestures, we are much more memorable. Use those gestures to reinforce the throwing of a baseball, the idea that came in one ear and out the other, or raising a prop high into the air, supported only by three fingers, to underscore the featherweight benefits. However you choose to gesture, remember these final tips. Dump the throwaway gestures. They simply make you look nervous. Practice getting those arms comfortably at your side when you're not gesturing. Create a gesture library and practice them in front of a mirror. Go big or go home. Small, wimpy gestures make you look, well, small and wimpy. Large, meaningful gestures will make you appear much more passionate and energetic. Get creative. Tell your stories with your hands. Contrast and compare. Three levels of service. Show them, don't tell them. Stories that are lived out in front of an audience will make important ideas stick longer. And finally, if these aren't good enough reasons, a British research study showed a correlation between the use of gestures as a mechanism for fostering memory recall. That's right. If we use meaningful gestures, it may just help us remember what we wanted to say. One question we pose to those who attend our training sessions around the country is this: how would you like to be perceived? As presenters, we seem to be in agreement on this important point. Managers, sales professionals, business executives, entry-level employees alike will all say that they want to be perceived as confident, poised, articulate, and passionate people. Well, audiences don't cough up those accolades to just anyone. They give them to passionate people who are constantly working to improve the finer points of the personal communication process. And gesturing? Good gesturing is just one of those key skills. That's it for today. Join us again for another installment of The Pod Coach from Distinction Communication.
For more information on Distinction Communication, visit us at distinction-services.com.